Welcome to Divorce with a Twist, where we smash the stigma of divorce and focus on how to move forward and live your best life. I'm your host, certified life coach and divorce attorney, Shandy Arwelas, and this is episode 16. Today, I have a very special guest, Corinne Crabtree. She is a master certified weight and life coach. She's the host of Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne, a wildly successful podcast that has been downloaded over 50 million times. She's one of the leading voices in the weight loss and business industries. Over 1 million women have taken her free weight loss course, and she serves over 14,000 paid members in her No BS weight loss program. In 2022, Corinne also founded the No BS Business Women's Membership. She is one of my business mentors, and I am more than honored in having her here today. So join my conversation with Corinne. All the details on how to find her will be in the show notes. Go follow her, subscribe, check out her programs, and today, just enjoy. I often refer my clients to Corinne, specifically to her No BS Weight Loss podcast, which is amazing. And what I tell them is that Corinne will teach you how to stop being an asshole to yourself. And I told Corinne this. She even acknowledges her greatest passion is helping women get rid of their old shitty thoughts. And that's where we're going to open. Take a listen.
Yeah, so I came up with old shitty a long time ago. I was doing one of my own weight loss events. So inside of our program, we have these once a year big, like I teach and rail and preach for 3 days, but it's a time when women can, you know, most women, they just don't take time for themselves. Like they're very, it's very rare that they will say, like they'll take a vacation and go, you know, with their kids or with their family or something, but they rarely just take time for them. And so we do one every year, and I don't remember what was happening, but it was just like client after client I was coaching, and they just kept saying the most horrendous things about themselves. You know, like, I'll never find anyone because I'm such a loser. And, you know, I'll never be good enough. It was just like all these things. I was like, oh my God, your brain just sounds like it's a shitty diaper. And then the next thing I know, we started talking about old shitty. And so old shitty is our representation of all of those thoughts that we have. Typically, it's usually the worst ones are the ones we have about us. You know, we have a lot of shitty thoughts in life about things and people and stuff, but I always find the most detrimental ones and the ones that have the biggest impact when you find them and can talk better to yourself is the ones that are really focused on you. And if you even think about a lot of the thoughts that we'll have about, let's say you have like terrible thoughts about, like, say your ex, like I have an ex-husband. I have a few pitiful thoughts about him, but like when I really investigate it, like he cheated on me, and all kinds of stuff. And so it wasn't like my thoughts about him, even though it made me angry. It was when I started thinking about why am I so angry? And it was a lot of thoughts like you're unlovable, you know, at your size, no one's ever going to love you. Like if he wouldn't even love you, how would like anybody else? And so old shitty to me is just like, it's a representation of negative thinking, but the most detrimental ones are the ones where when you look underneath the hood, they're all about you.
Yes. And my clients do that. They take an outside action and often of someone else, the ex, and they turn it inward and they make it mean something about themselves.
Yes.
And I had written down two different clients just last week. This is an example, and I wanted to let you know their thoughts because I knew you were coming on here this week. And the first thought was, who wants an overweight menopausal woman with two grown kids? And a totally separate client had said, I'm going to hit menopause and be fat and alone. And mm-hmm. So these thoughts are very common, you know, after divorce. Even if my clients are in a good place, divorce will turn the volume up on your own insecurities, your fears, your doubts. I have clients that they initiate the divorce, but then They are scared and they fear they'll be alone forever. And like you said, unlovable by the way they look, or they kind of just lose motivation in life. And then they turn to food to buffer and feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned helping people find old shitty. I recommend starting a journal. I think journaling can help turn the volume up, but a lot of people are, they don't like to journal. I don't know.
Yeah.
People do resist it. So do you have any particular way that you can help people? Some people don't even know their inner critic is false, that they can question it or challenge it. And so my first step is first become aware of it, listen to these thoughts, but how do you help someone discover their old shitty?
Yeah. So I would just like to give a shout out to all your 50 plus divorcees or going through divorces, because that's very common inside of our membership. So it's like, we just have a strong 50 plus community for weight loss, because everybody's like menopause. And I coach a lot on menopause. Like, for all of you who are thinking you can't find a man because you're in menopause, trust me, or a woman, whoever you're looking for, it is not because of menopause. Like, we throw that up like it's like this horrible thing. It's like, there's nobody checking boxes on whether or not you're in menopause or not. You're checking a box. So I just want to tell them all that that's very common. So let me show, like you were asking. So like, I'm going to journal, and now I'm going to notice my crap ass thinking around being menopausal, being overweight, I got two grown kids, no one's ever going to want me, I'll be alone forever, which is hilarious because I was 20 years old when I got divorced. And other than the menopause thought,
very universal.
I was at the age of, I was 20. And if at 20, I can't get it right, I'm used goods. No one's going to want a divorcee. And I was over 250 pounds. I was like, when you're overweight, you shouldn't give up men no matter what, because you'll never find another one. So I get it. But here's what happens. When we as coaches tell our clients to go journal, we have to actually teach them how to have safety around journaling. Journaling is not magic.
Right.
Like, I think all coaches think journaling is magic. Journaling cannot be magic until the client has a healthy relationship with journaling. Otherwise, journaling is traumatizing. Journaling is triggering, activating. And it's high. Like, if we don't teach our clients how to have that good relationship with it, then it is a self-loathing exercise usually. And that's why most clients turn off. So here's what I teach inside my weight loss program. It will be magic for all your people. Number one is exactly what you're teaching. We have to first notice the thoughts. The best way to do it is with either listening to yourself, talking it out loud with your coach, or journaling. The second step is the key, which is called normalizing what you just found. So the reason why most people quit journaling is because I find things, and I've already got these negative thoughts about myself. I'm in a puzzle. I'll never lose my weight. I'll never get married. Then we see that. And then we have these other thoughts like, oh my God, you're broken. This is terrible. This is true. Like, you know, what do you do with this crap that's just true? You can't change these things, you know?
Right. And the beat up comes, the self-judgment and beat up.
Yes. So instead of coming in, you know, like a shrill, what we want to do is we want to look at all of that. And then we want to take just one of the things that we find and we want to normalize it. It's called the four N's: notice, then normalize. And normalizing is where you look at a thought and you say, why would it make sense that my brain is interpreting things this way? Where did I learn these things? Because a lot of times we think our thoughts are true. And most of the time, what I have found working with clients is the thoughts feel true, but they aren't the truth. They are something someone told us at some point.
Right.
It can be society. It can be an ex-husband. It can be a parent or whatever. And then we've made it our truth because a lot of times these people were in positions of some type of authority in our life. You know, like I'm married, I have a husband. In my mind, he's in a position of authority. He's someone I love and trust. And if he tells me something, I'm likely to like think like, huh, is that the truth? if the postman walked up to me and said it, I would be like, I don't know, you don't know me. Like, I, like my level of, like, he has no real authority right. over my interpretation.
Right.
So we have to normalize things so that you don't have these trauma responses around your own thinking. So we don't right. self-loathe. Then the next step is neutralize. So once we've normalized, we create some relief from our thinking. It's like, okay, that makes sense. I understand the message it's trying to send me, or I understand why I may not want to just believe it hardcore. Neutralizing is like, but what are the actual facts here? Like, what can I prove? Like, rather than saying I'm overweight, it's just, I weigh 250 pounds. I'm in menopause. I am divorced. I have two children.
Right.
That's very different than saying all that and saying, and all of that means I'll never find anyone. That would be the thought that we are looking through.
Right.
The last step after you neutralize it, when you have that clean slate of like, okay, if my brain made up this type of story, if my brain made up this explanation for being menopausal and stuff, what would my next best thought or action be with this situation? So for, you know, one of your clients, they could be looking at this and think, well, my next thought could be, there's lots of things I can do to change my health. There's lots of things I can do to take care of myself. This may not be as bad as my brain's making it out to be. Sometimes that's like a very good entry level thought for some people. It's like, we're not saying that you will get married. We're not saying that you have to lose weight or anything, but we could also think that it could equally be as true that maybe this isn't the five alarm fire I'm making it out to be.
Right.
I just am aware that maybe I want to lose weight. I'm just aware that I have kids. So I would need, if I want a partner in life, I've got to find a partner who doesn't care about me having adult children or me having children.
Right.
And so we want to go to that next best action or thought. So notice, normalize, neutralize, next best thought or action. And that would be your four ends. And so for a lot of people in my membership, they journal each day a little bit. We don't have them do extensive journaling. I usually tell people, unless something traumatic's going on, keep your journaling to 5 minutes or less.
Right.
You just want to figure out what is the most like active thought I have of the day. Let's just like work on something that I'm working on today. And then you put those through the four ends.
Right. That's wonderful. So the next best thought, I go with 1% less shitty.
Yeah, exactly. You're looking for, the way that I like to explain it is every old shitty feels true.
Right.
You wouldn't think things if they didn't feel true. So we never want any, I don't want anyone to ever think that your thinking is not true to you.
Right.
Like, and because we have to respect that part of us. There's a part of us that's very, usually like those shitty thoughts are coming from somewhere deep down. I'm scared about something. I'm worried about something. Like there's something that's bothering me and I say it this way. And that's how I try to get your attention. So we don't want to, it's like, it would be like having a child who is screaming and hollering and you just decide like, I'm not paying attention to you. I'm not paying attention to you. And they've cut their leg open.
Right.
So we don't want to do that. But what we can do is we can find in the next best thought or action something that feels equally as true. And for you to change your thinking, that's where you have to start. That's why it's important to normalize the old stuff and neutralize it, because then we're going to plug in a thought that can feel just as true as the other. And then for a while, we just live with both.
Right.
We just get really good at when old shitty comes in, I'm very prepared with that 1% less old shitty thought so that they can now go together.
Yeah. And it's
important. But we act from the new one. Go ahead.
And the new one has to be believable to them. So with one of them I worked with, you know, she was struggling because it felt so true, but it was also true. And she could believe that some menopausal women find men or menopausal women date. So it could be possible for other people, which makes it possible for her. But that's steps, and that depends on the individual of when they can get there.
Yeah. And it's also possible. Just like I have a lot of rants on menopause. I'm in the menopause years, so I get it. Like, it's not like Corinne is sitting here on her like period throne. Right. I'm in the peri. I'm having the hot flashes. I'm doing the things right now. It's like, I like to think about with menopause, especially for women, they just need a healthier relationship with it. It's like, this main, like, other than the discomfort of all of it, so much about menopause is misery, is the dog shit we pile on top of it.
Right.
Like, thinking it means we're washed up, best years are behind us, no one's going to want us, all that stuff. That's what makes menopause awful. If we're just dealing with hot flashes and we're just dealing with, like, you know, like, I can go from literally sane to everything is fraying my nerves in a hot second. Like, yeah, that's normal. Like, if you say that makes me crazy, a crazy person, it's like, you're not crazy.
Right.
You're just going through a life change. And so what do you want to do about it? How do you want to respond when you act crazy? What do you need to tell the people in your life about what's going on with you? Like, most of the time, like, I find my women in menopause will sit there and not tell a damn soul about what's normal for them, like what's going to happen, and like just let everyone know, like, sometimes I might yell, just know I don't mean it.
Right.
Like, just having some conversations often is helpful.
Did you find your thoughts kind of right off the rails when you started into menopause? Did you have to get active coaching for it, or do you coach yourself through it?
Both. I have my own coach, and I like the, for, well, I will say this. I don't think it was as bad for me when I started hitting all this, just because for years I have been coaching people in menopause about being very mindful about what do you want to make it mean? Because most of my women eat through it. They think it means automatic weight gain. And what they end up doing is they do menopausal pity eating. And pity eating is where, I'm not going to be able to lose weight no matter what I do anyway, since I'm in menopause, you know, making small changes, it really won't matter. I tell people all the time, small changes add up over time, and so do small overeats.
Right.
You choose which small way you're going to go. Right. Because in a lot of menopause, they're not like donking their face off with food. Very often I find my menopausal women are grab-assing a lot of food. They're just like, well, I'm in menopause. I'll just eat the free donut. It won't matter. It, you know, nothing I do is going to work anyway. And it's like, nothing you're going to do is going to work if you don't clean up the bullshit eating. You got to get your bullshit eating out of the way. Like, no more pity eating over menopause. Almost every single menopausal woman who's come into my program who has swore up and down they couldn't lose weight has lost weight. And they have done nothing other than they stop every time they think they're going to eat something that it won't matter because of menopause, or that they're blaming on menopause. When they cut that eating out, they're like, you won't believe it. I lost like 5 pounds this month. I haven't been able to lose weight in forever. And I'm like, I believe it. You quit overeating like an asshole.
So just getting into your program, I find when someone, you know, pays to coach or makes the step to commit to a coaching program, that does a lot for, you know, their desire to change. But I get, again, with the divorce, maybe they lack motivation, or they kind of don't care about things. They're grappling with a new identity. So if someone is listening and, you know, they have that nagging feeling, they want to get started, but they're lacking motivation, what would you know, they're swimming in the pool of I'm not good enough. What is one tip that could help them take the leap to just get started? One thing that they could do to kind of get the ball going?
Like, if someone is saying, like, if somebody is trying to tell me that they don't believe they're good enough, and that's why they don't want to join my program, or they don't want to like start their weight loss journey or whatever, I usually just tell them, like, well, then how about you do it for another reason? And then on the way, learn how to feel like you're good enough. Treat yourself like you're good enough and see if your opinion of you changes. Like, and here's the other thing about
every time the opinion will change every time.
And here's the other thing about motivation. None of y'all are entitled to be motivated to start anything. I think motivation is an entitlement type feeling that we all want. It's like, I want to be excited and motivated and thrilled from the get. And it's like, how about you think about who you want to be ultimately? Like, let's just think about the person that we want to be. Maybe you want to be healthier. Maybe you want to be thinner. Maybe you want to, like, people want all of that. And I'm like, all right, what will all of that offer? And they think, well, if I was thinner, then I would be more confident and I would, you know, I would get out on the dating apps. I would like do all these things. I'm like, okay, then you're not going to be motivated at first. What you need to be is willing to go earn all that. Like, I don't care if anybody's motivated from the get. I really care, like, but are you willing? Because a lot of us do shit every single day that we're not motivated to do. Like, if you've ever had children, I don't think there was probably one time that you woke up in the middle of the night to change a diaper and you were highly motivated, but you were fucking willing. You didn't like diaper rash. You didn't like a screaming baby. So if you don't like, I like to think about, like, sometimes we will start our weight loss because there are things we don't like about how, like, I don't like that I can't climb stairs without getting winded. I don't like that I can't shop in the clothing stores that I would like to do. So am I willing to go earn that? Am I willing to go get that, like create that for myself so that I can have that? It's just this, I think if we would all quit looking to be motivated and to feel good before we start something, we would start more things.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of people want to, like, they say, well, I just don't know if I can do it. Like, you know, what if I fail? And so they're riddled with doubt and they sit on the sidelines thinking that doubt is a reason to sit on the sidelines. And I'm like, every success story didn't believe they could do things on the first day. So why are you going to sit there and just let that be the story? It's like every success story does not think they can do it on day one. So your belief doesn't matter on day one. The belief, like, you don't need to believe you can lose all of your weight. You don't need to believe that you can get remarried, but you need to believe that today you can make some kind of change. Can you, like, figure out something you can do today for whatever it is you want? And, like, well, can you believe you can get your ass off the couch and go do something? Can you believe that, like, for me on day one, I started with a 15-minute walk. Like, I believed I could get up off the couch and go walking for 15 minutes, but I did not think I could lose 100 pounds. Like, I would, if you would have went back to my past self on that first day and said, guess what you do? You lose 100 pounds and then you build a business around it. You change your family's life and you also keep it off for 16 years. I would have throat punched that person in the face for selling me some snake oil. But I knew I could get off my couch and it was all I had to believe for the day. Everything else, I just shut it down. I was just like, we're not thinking about a year from now. I'm not even thinking about 3 months from now. Every time I try to think too far down the road, I get scared. I worry too much. It aggravates, it like just agitates me. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to believe in today. And that's called doable belief stacking. It's what I teach. It's like, you start with the smallest of beliefs that are doable for you, that feel true. And you use that until you keep stacking so much belief that it ends up being like a big pile of belief. Once you kind of, like, after a few months of doing things and building up your belief, suddenly it's like not so strange to think that you could accomplish it. Like, your brain starts going, well, I wonder if this is the time. It just all kind of naturally
evolves. It becomes more believable, then you get more momentum, which leads to a motivation. The willingness is key, and that's wonderful. That's a great tip. And I thank you for sharing your processes with me, because I am a coach. I graduated and certified at the Life Coach School, as did you. You are some years ahead of me and some millions as well. But you are a business mentor of mine. You also created the No BS Business Women's Membership. And that was more recent in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so is that similar to your weight loss program? They're both membership programs, one for weight loss and one for business.
They're similar, but different. I know that sounds strange. There's mindset in both and there's frameworks in both. On the weight loss side, we do a lot more of the mindset work. So, because to me, there are very few steps to losing weight. It just, like, there's only four. and they're super simple to just get the weight off. The biggest problem with all diets, if everybody thinks about it this way, is like, let's say you start Weight Watchers or you start keto, insert either one. And they're probably the two most popular things that go around. They will give you some steps. They will tell you what to do, but you usually can't follow it when you're on vacation, when you just want to have a good time, after a long day, shit hits the fan with something. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too tired. Or the scale goes up. You know, like they just don't teach you anything about managing your mind. The best way to lose weight is to control what goes on between your ears. Because once you get that under control, you can control what goes in your mouth much easier.
Right.
And so if we don't learn how to solve the root cause of why we're overeating to begin with, that's why, like in the beginning, I was talking about menopause and you threw that out there. I was like, yeah, when I think menopause means I can't lose weight, then I am going to jackass eat. Like, it's not that I don't know what to do to lose weight. Like, right. If Corinne gives me the four steps, I know exactly what to do. It's, can I do it on a week when the scale doesn't go down? Can I do it on a day when I'm having hot flashes? Can I do it on a day when I feel like nothing's working right in my life? Can I do it at 9 o'clock at night after I put in a long day at work and had to work late? Like, when someone teaches you how to manage your mind around those things, weight loss gets exponentially easier. On the business side, it's the reverse. In business, there are lots of frameworks. There are lots of steps. There are lots of things that, like, depending on what part of the business they're working on, there's a framework. There are steps. There are these things that we do that make things a lot easier. It's a little bit more clear cut. Then we go to the mindset, because in business, you have to try things. That means you're going to take basic frameworks and steps. You're going to plug and play. Then we have to sit back. We have to watch. And we have to see what works and what doesn't. I was going to say, that's the moment where you need the mindset coaching, because being able to keep testing, to overcome thinking this is never going to work, to doing all of that mindset there, it comes on the back end of the frameworks.
And that inner critic is loud, whether you're in business, weight loss, relationships. It's there. We have to get it under control. You know, all of those things will improve once you do learn to manage your mind.
Exactly.
In your membership for business, do you take coaches only, or is it any entrepreneur? Who do you service?
It's all entrepreneurs. It's focused on online course creators, coaches, or businesses that are going to, they're primarily, the vehicle is either I have my entire business online and I'm selling, or I market primarily online. So I have like a huge social presence, or I know that I'm going to need like funnels. Like if your audience is one where the funnel is, it's just, I offer you something free. You give me an email address, and then we start an exchange of emails and talking to see if you are a good fit for my product or service. So it's really it's geared towards people who are going to use online marketing in the online space to start, grow, and scale their business.
And where can listeners find that information? What is the best way to get your business information?
Go to nobiusbusinesswomen.com and you'll find all of our information about what we do, the costs, like how it can transform your business and all that kind of good stuff.
And if you're interested in her weight loss program, check out nobsweightloss.com. And I definitely encourage you to check out her podcast, Losing 100 Pounds with Corinne. Thank you, Corinne, so much for being here. And to all of my listeners, I hope you really enjoyed today. Again, all of Corinne's information will be in the show notes. And I'll see you guys next week.